Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
All right, everybody, welcome. Take me to church. Yeah? You excited to be in church today? I am. I love the church. Our new series, you just saw it on the video, Take Me to Church. We're doing a five-week. We extended it 1 week because we figured we needed to add one. Five-week series on Take Me to Church. Hey, Melissa read it earlier. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do we believe that today? Oh, I don't know if I believe you, though. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yes, amen? Right on. Come on, we need to get some coffee in this place. I think there's some outside if you need a cup. But we're starting a new series, Take Me to Church. And before we even launch into the series, I wanted to take a moment and acknowledge we have... there are two expressions of the church. There is the inside the walls, local church, what we're doing now, gathering together. And then there is a scattering, the Big C church, all believers all over the world under the name of Jesus. And what I just wanted to take a moment and clarify is this series is going to be largely and primarily about our gathering, inside the walls church, not ignoring the fact that there is a greater expression of the church, but we wanted to focus this series on what we do here, why we do it, what is it that we do, all that kind of stuff, and then I believe our next series is going to take it beyond our walls and go into, now we need to take that. So, wow, I just got, really hot in the speakers there. But, anyway, so there is a larger expression in the church. We're not neglecting that, but we're just focusing on what we do here. Today's message series, I'm sorry I don't really have a fun or funny story to start out with to grab your attention, but are we cool with that? We're just going to dive into some... What's that? I could call someone babe. Yeah, I was going to mention off the top. The last two times I've preached, I have somehow stuck my foot in my mouth. The first one was, I was up on stage, I just could not pronounce the word committees. I kept saying committees, and then I'd correct myself, I'd say it again. And so I stuck my foot in my mouth there. Last time I spoke, I ended up calling Kenton. Where are you, Kenton? I saw you here. I ended up calling Kenton babe. I don't know why, it just came out. And so it'll be fun. You'll get to perk up your ears and listen closely and see. It'll be fun. What might I say? I have no idea. But that should be fun. As I talk today, when you talk a lot to groups of people, it's going to happen. And it happens to me. It seems on a greater level than some. But yes, we are. Today's message. I lost my track. Today's message is on why gather. Why gather? Just right off the bat, why gather? And we're going to get there, but we're actually going to get to the answer to that question closer to the end of the message, because I think we need to lay a little bit of groundwork first. We need to lay a little bit of groundwork and talk about what do we mean when we say church? Because as many people that are here, there's probably that many notions and definitions of what church means. When I say the word church, we all probably picture something a little bit differently, have a little bit of a different definition of what that means. So I want to lay a groundwork of what is it that we're talking about exactly. And then I want to talk about a little bit perhaps some wrong reasons that we might attend church, some wrong reasons that we might gather. Is there a wrong reason to go to church? I don't know. Let's find out. And then after that, I'm going to answer the title question, which is, why gather? Then why do we gather? So we're just going to dive right in. Are we okay with that? Dive right in? Sweet. Definition. What is church? What are we even talking about when we say church? And I figured I'd take this time to make myself look really smart. And so I have two Greek words. Two Greek words I'm going to talk about. Because every preacher needs to talk about some Greek and Hebrew words every now and then. So they seem intelligent. the first word I want to talk about is the word kuriakos. Can we say that together? One, two, three. Kuriakos. Very good. Very, very good. A kuriakos. It is actually the word that we directly get our word church from. Kuriakos, over the course of language, evolving and all that kind of stuff, it went from that and over a bunch of different steps, we got our word church. And this word means of the Lord or belonging to the Lord. So our word church, the Greek word that it comes from, means belonging to the Lord. And actually, it's funny because when I was studying, I thought these were words that actually described the church. But this first word is actually never used to describe the word. It's only used twice in the New Testament. And it's going to be a little bit like school for the first 5 minutes here. But it's used twice in the New Testament. First time is talking about the Lord's Supper. Second time is talking about the Lord's Day. And so it's never actually used to describe church, but over time, as people were like, what do we call our gathering? They took this word kuriakos, meaning belonging to the Lord, and applied it to the gathering of believers. So essentially, by calling ourselves a church, we're calling ourselves a gathering of people belonging to the Lord. Make sense? So there we get a sense of a group of people, and we belong to the Lord. So far, we don't get a sense of a system, a service, a place. But what's the next word? The next word is used 111 times in the New Testament. And when you see the word church in the New Testament, it is probably this word that's being translated, and it's the word ecclesia. Can we say that together? One, two, three. Ecclesia. Oh, so good, so good. Ecclesia literally means gathering, assembly, and community. A gathering and assembly of a community. And here we again get the sense that it's not something to do, it's not somewhere to go, but it's someone to be. A gathering of people. The focus is on the gathering of the people, not a system, not a service. It's interesting to note that through these definitions, that the church, the definition of the church, what we can lay the foundation on, what we're talking about is a group of people belonging to the Lord, a gathering, an assembly, and a community. All right? We on the same page here? I listened to a leadership podcast by a guy by the name of Perry Noble, and he said he's a church leader. He does a podcast for other church leaders, and I like to listen to it. And he says he gave one podcast as a reminder. We are in the people business. And now when you start talking about the church as a business, some people kind of get their backs up. It's not what he's talking about, that the church is a business. But we're not in the teaching business per se. We're not in the music business per se. We are in the people business. We are in the business of gathering up people belonging to the Lord, building them up, maturing as believers together. And that is the business of the church. So the church is a community of people belonging to the Lord, gathered. All right. So we're a bunch of Christians and we all gather in one place. And we sit there, and we stare at each other. We're all believers. We're all gathered. We all belong to the Lord. And we do this. Is that church? All right. That's a good answer. That's not church. So, having said that the primary focus of church is the fact that it's a group of people gathered who belong to the Lord, there are certain things that I would hope the church would be about, and Jesus would hope the church would be about. And we get a really good picture of this. We get a really good picture of this in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Melissa read it earlier, but I want to give another reading of it now just to refresh our memory. We get a picture here of what the church was about as it got birthed.
It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as anyone had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as we read that, we get a good picture of some stuff that the church should be about. I was actually going to have the book here to show you, and I forgot it. But there's a book called Doctrine by Mark Driscoll and Jerry Brashears, and they give an outline of what the church should be about. They give a definition, and it's based largely on this passage, pulling some other elements from different passages, but they outline just a few things that the church should be about. The marks of the church. What does it mean? What should a church look like? And they had stuff like people who were gathered under qualified godly leadership. We see in this passage, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles who were trained by Jesus. It says they gathered regularly, both in big groups and small. It says the temple courts and in homes. They broke bread together. They gathered for preaching and teaching. There were people who wanted to grow in knowledge and understanding of Jesus' words and the scriptures and how it is that we would how we would live in a life that really follows Him and puts Him as our Lord. They gathered for worship. It doesn't say specifically in this passage that they were singing, but it says that they were in awe. They were a people who were full of awe, and they were thankful, and they were praising. And elsewhere in the New Testament, we are encouraged to make music and to sing, and all throughout the Old Testament scriptures too. So there were people who gathered for worship. Baptism and communion are other things, other marks of the church. Practicing regularly baptisms as we do reach out and as people do meet Jesus and get saved and want to publicly express that, be baptized. Communion, where we get together and remember the sacrifice, Jesus' body broken and blood poured out, and we're going to be doing that later today. As an expression of our thanks and our remembering of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Just a couple other things quickly. They were disciplined for holiness. It says they were devoted. We're going to talk about these things more in depth throughout the series, but they were people who were devoted, disciplined, and they were people who then scattered on mission. That's going to be our series coming up after this one. They were people who scattered, and they were people who were greatly generous. So these are all marks of the church. If we're going to call our gathering, ourselves a church, we should be about the things that Jesus teaches us and the apostles teach us and this passage outlines for us. A church is about these things. So what kind of gatherings could be church? Could a group of friends around a coffee table be church? Man, it definitely could be. I find that those things kind of often end up in chat sessions, and that's cool. That's not bad, but I don't know if I would necessarily call all of that church, but it could be. It could definitely be church. Could a small group Bible study be church? Yes, absolutely. A small group Bible study could be considered church. Could a large gathering like this be considered church? Absolutely. But does it have these marks? Leadership, preaching, worship, baptism, communion, all that kind of stuff. These are the marks of a church. So now that we've got that behind us, and you know what? I think we're going to start putting these on podcasts because I know that was really quick. We are going to be expanding on some of these, and you can always go back and listen to the podcast that I think we're getting set up pretty soon if you wanted to hear that back again. But really, if you just look at that last portion of Acts 2, we get a good sense of what the church should be about. So then getting a little closer to answering our question, why gather? First, what are some reasons not to gather? Not so much reasons not to gather, but maybe not good reasons to gather. like I said, someone's like, someone might say, is there ever really a bad reason to go to church? I don't know. What do you guys think? I think so. Not that it's bad to be in church, but we need to look at why we're there. And so the first thing I want to mention is something that I find is really, really rampant, really prevalent in the church. And it's going to church out of a mentality of consumerism, a selfish consumerism attitude. Coming to church with an attitude more predisposed to receive than to give. Let me unpack that a little bit more. Johnny and I watched a video in preparing for this, a DVD video by the Barna Group. And one of the things that the gentleman who was presenting there said is, in our culture is all about what he termed project self. Project self. When you look at it from a young age, I mean, we teach kids, you know, about take care of yourself, learn to love yourself, and we see it all the time on Facebook, which is the air we breathe. Project self, learn to look after yourself, look out for number one, all this kind of stuff. That's the air we breathe. We live in a culture that is driven by project self, all individualistic. And not that there is no concern for other people, but the main drive to do anything is to enlarge our kingdom, enlarge our project self. The atmosphere in which we live is saying, you go get it. You love yourself. You do this for yourself. You can do it. And I'm here to tell you that's actually really not what Jesus taught. Sometimes we get a sense of that, and we know that. And so we are Christians, and we live in this culture of project self, and it gets inside of us, and we sort of port some of Jesus' teachings into this project self, and we get some kind of hybridized way of living that we're kind of living for ourselves with Jesus. And when we port that into the church, that becomes a little bit problematic. What do I mean by that? Well, when we come to church with a project self mentality, with a consumer mentality, what can I get? What can I receive? Primarily, now I'm gonna put an asterisk on this at the end, but I want to just lay this down. Looking for our preferences in service type, our preferences in preaching type, our preferences in music style. When we go into looking at church that way, some things happen. When we go into it with that attitude, what can I get out of it? The receiving shrinks. The receiving shrinks. Because, yes, church is a place where we receive both from God and from others. Church is a place where we receive. Amen? Yes? All right. Because I don't want you to think that we shouldn't come and expect to receive. That is not what I'm trying to say. But here's what I'm trying to say. In your bulletin, you have a slip for a potluck. We're having it next week. It's going to be amazing. Invite people, come, and just fellowship. Be the church together over a meal like they did in the early church. But what if everyone said, I'm going to come to this potluck? And I am going to feast. I'm going to come and I'm going to get stuffed. And it's going to be good. I'm going to eat potato salad. I'm going to eat chicken. I'm going to eat whatever people bring. It's going to be a great feast. And everyone comes. I'm going to come and feast at this potluck. But no one decided they were going to bring anything. Would anyone be eating anything? Would anyone be eating anything if everyone came to eat and no one came to bring food? Well, no. And the same is for the church. If we come to an attitude, I'm going to receive, but no one comes to bring, we don't receive, right? Now, God is faithful. God is generous. God is gracious, and he does pour out his blessing. But as far as receiving encouragement, all that kind of stuff from each other, if no one brings it, no one receives it. So you might think, well, how do I know? Do I have a consumer mentality? Do I have this edge to me? Because sometimes we can have this mentality, and I'm not innocent of it at all. We can have this mentality and not even realize it. And Johnny and I were talking about this, and one of the things we came up with is one test, a litmus test for this is, do I have an easy time just not coming to church? Because what we realized is if we have an easy time saying, I don't feel like going today, what that says about us is, I don't feel like I need what the church has to offer for me in this moment. If I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like I need what the church has to offer. But then with that thinking, we neglect the fact that maybe the church needs what we have to offer. Maybe the church needs what I bring to the table. So if we don't feel like, if we feel easy to just say, nah, not today, chances are we're either not bringing anything to the table or we don't see that we can bring something to the table. Cool. Really heavy in the room? I got one more and then we're going to have some fun. Thanks. So why not gather? Consumerism attitude. Another reason, another bad reason to gather, another bad reason to come to church. Again, it's not bad to come to church, but there are bad reasons to do so. Is out of, wow, I lost it, religious duty, and to check a box or to boost your religious appearance. You know, if I have an anniversary, and I do, roughly once a year. And I bring flowers to my wife. She says, oh, you remembered. Yeah, that's so wonderful. It's so sweet of you. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, I'm your husband. I have to. Would that be very nice? Would that just make her melt and say, I got the most wonderful man in the world? No. Same with God. Bringing our sacrifices out of duty. I mean, he has some serious things to say about this in the Bible. In Isaiah, he says to the prophet Isaiah, your righteous acts are like filthy rags to me. It's like a soiled garment. Even your righteous acts, because you come with the wrong motives. And in Philippians 3:8, Paul says, he just lists out a ton of good works that he did growing up as a Pharisee in the church, or in the synagogue, I guess. But as a Jewish Pharisee, he said, I was blameless in how I acted. But then he goes on to say, I consider all of that rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus. So if we're gathering as one of those boxes on our list of what it means to be a good Christian that we can check off, it's actually offensive in the eyes of God. Just because I have to, okay, I said I'm a Christian, I better go to church. You know, God loves a cheerful giver, and that goes with everything. That goes with giving, but it goes with everything that we do. Is our coming to church begrudging, or is our coming to church, man, I love Jesus, and I love his people, and I can't wait to gather and worship. If it's a chore to come to church, we need to do a serious heart check. We need to maybe go back to the beginning a little bit. If it's a chore to come to church, if it's a chore to come and sing praise and hear from God's word and gather with other people, we need to do a serious heart check. Maybe we need to take a step back and say, hey, what's the rest of my life look like? Because what we do here should be just what we always do in our lives in a gathered form. We should be worshipers out there. We should be learners out there. And as we gather, we take that life and we take that way of living and we just squish it together with all of us together and it becomes a big party. It becomes a big celebration. It becomes something that should be a joy to do. So what are some bad reasons to gather? One, with a consumerism me attitude. With consumeristic me attitude, and the other is just out of religious duty. So
why gather? We made it. You made it. I made it. Why gather? And I've got three things. There are so many things, and I'm not going to hit all of them because we'd be here till next week. But I got three main things, main reasons I've with study and just life and reading the scriptures and being a gatherer, a church goer. Three things, and I'm going to take them in order that I felt was of. I don't want to say least importance to most importance, but we'll just say that for the sake of, I don't know what else to call it. First of all, why would I gather? Because there's something encouraging, there's something uplifting, upbuilding about meeting in groups with like-minded people. Is that true? Have you found that to be true? There's something uplifting about gathering together with people who are different but have one thing in common, and that's Jesus. We love him. We were saved by him. He has forgiven us of our sins, and we can't help but praise him, and we all gather together under that, and there's just something encouraging and uplifting about that. I was thinking about this, and I love music. Anyone love music? Aaron loves music. Hey, I don't know if everyone knows this, but we get a real treat here. We get Aaron B. Thompson leading us in worship a few times a month. I don't know if you know this, but Aaron Thompson is an amazing songwriter. He's got some songs up on iTunes and stuff like that. You should really check him out. Check out Aaron Thompson. Anyway, shameless plug for my bud. Back on track. We all pretty much appreciate music if we don't absolutely love it, and I absolutely love it. But there's a couple ways we can get music in us. First of all, we can go get an album, buy an album, and we put it on a CD, on our phone, iPod, whatever, and we can listen to it. We can listen to it in our car, in our home, and we can appreciate it. I've got lots of favorite albums that I love to put on, and I groove to them, or they stir emotions. But it's one thing, and it's enjoyable to listen to an album on speakers. It's another thing, and Thompson's, you could probably attest to this, it's another thing to gather with other people who love the same music, and just, you've all got this in common, and go to a concert with maybe 1,000 or however many other people who all love the same band, and then listen to that music together. Anyone ever been to a concert, like a really good concert, a band that you love? There's something different about that than a CD, is there not? And we can study on our own. We can listen to a podcast on our own. We can listen to worship music in our headphones as we go for a jog on our own, and that's good. And hey, the plus side of that is you can get to choose exactly what you want to listen to on that. But we can do that on our own. But there is something when we gather together as people who all love Jesus, who all love worship, who all love his word, and we gather together, there's something encouraging and uplifting about that. Why gather? Because there's just something encouraging and uplifting about it. Sometimes it's a bit hard to put your finger on, but there is. Second thing, why gather? Because we need each other. Amen? I need you. I really do. And I'd like to think in some way you need me. but we need each other to grow and bear fruit. We do. A while ago, a group of us were kind of feeling like we needed to get in shape. You can tell it was a long while ago. And what we decided to do is we decided to have a competition. And we all got together, and with a healthy competition and kind of an accountability, we were actually, most of us were able to, to drop a good amount of pounds and get healthy and exercise more. But
Would we have all done that individually if we had scattered and not even really talked to each other? No, I wouldn't have. I know I wouldn't have hit that treadmill as hard as I did if it wasn't for my buddies that we were doing this together. Same thing with spiritual life. We might in some small way take steps to grow on our own, but man, we need each other to spur us on, to encourage us when we're doing something right, to point out when something is inconsistent. Close friends and family to here Paul says it in or actually we don't know if it's Paul, it's Hebrews, but the author of Hebrews says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." Hey, the times are urgent. Jesus is coming back. Hey, we don't know when, but he is. People are going to die, and we need to have a sense of urgency about building each other up and spurring each other on and becoming and maturing into a group of people who are ready to take the gospel to their own situations, to the valley we live in, to the Vancouver Island, to BC, to Canada, to the world. What we need each other to build each other up to do that. So why come to church? We need each other. We need each other to grow. We need each other to bear fruit. We need encouragement. We need support. We need people who are in different life stages of us. That's one of the thinkings behind this gathering, is we wanted people, teenagers, to be gathered with seniors and everywhere in between, and so that the young unmarried young adult guy can talk to the married 50-something guy and say, "Hey, what do I need to learn before I seek out being married?" That kind of stuff. We need that. We need your experience. I need your experience. Some of you need my experience. And we need to gather together, and we need to be a community of people. We need each other to bear and grow fruit. So what did we say? We said there's just something encouraging about gathering in a group together, like-minded as worshipers. Also, we need each other to bear and grow fruit. To grow and bear fruit is what I had written down. And lastly, why gather? Ultimately, and I kind of touched on it a little bit already, but we have been placed by Jesus on a mission that is far too great to be accomplished as individuals. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a tall order. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Might need some help with that from other people who are on the same path. We're on a mission. Jesus has placed his church on a mission. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And then he gave us that promise, and he sent us out. He sent his disciples out, and we continue to be sent out by Jesus on mission. But we can't do it scattered as individuals alone. We need each other. Yes, we scatter to do it, but we need each other. We need that time when we come together and we just get encouraging from the word, encouragement from worship, encouragement from conversations with one another. We need that time if we're going to go and accomplish this mission. Also, as we get together in young adults on Monday nights, we gather, and we had a bit of a conversation of the same kind of thing. What is better? Is a small gathering better? Is a large gathering better? And we said they both have their pros and cons. They both are good in one area. They both are good in other areas, and maybe fall short in some. And actually, Sammy Norman came up to me and he said, "You know what? There's something about the large gathering. We if it wasn't for, say, a church, we wouldn't have a building. If it wasn't for a large gathering, we wouldn't have a building. We wouldn't have the resources. We wouldn't have the kind of stuff we need to do these smaller little things. If it wasn't, you probably said it way better than I just said it, but I don't even know if you remember saying that. Yeah, you do? Awesome. Cool. But resources. As a church gathered, our resources of time, talent, treasure. We're going to be talking more about those again, too. But our resources of time and talent and treasure, time. You know, some of you guys, you're single. You don't have a family yet. You got some time that some of us guys have a lot less of. Talent. Man, like some people can do this. Some people can do this. Other people can plan out a community garden. Hello, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I wouldn't know the first place to start, but we need people like that. We need everyone's resources, time, talent, treasure. Man, we've all got wallets in our pockets, and some things just need, they just take money, and God gives us richly, and he asks us to give some of it back for his work. Again, we're going to be talking about that in depth later, but we all have these resources that together we can pool, and we can accomplish this mission that is far too great for me with my limited talents, with my limited time, with my limited treasure, for me to be able to accomplish on our own. And equipping. Man, gathering to be equipped, gathering to hear an encouraging message from a preacher, from a song, from a fellow church attender. Man, we need to be equipped to go out. And yes, some of it we can get on our own, but some of it we just need to gather and get from each other. I don't think of everything I need to know on my own. Sometimes, man, I need a guy like Johnny beside me or someone else to say, hey, did you think about this? And obviously, no, I haven't. More often than not. And we need each other. We need each other for bearing fruit. We need each other for the mission that Jesus has placed us on. So what could this look like? Man, can you imagine a room full of people like this, bought in, all bought in, all coming with something to the table. Man, God has blessed us in different areas. And you might say, I don't know what I have to bring. Well, God has given you something to bring. Maybe your next step is to pray about, God, I don't feel like I have anything to bring. God, would you shine a light on what you've given me to bring? Maybe just talk to a guy like me or Johnny or someone else and say, what needs to be done? What is there a hole I can fill? I don't feel like I have any part to play, but I want to bring something. What can I bring? What could it be if we were all bought in? What could it look like if we all gathered regularly with an attitude to give and also expecting to receive, but all bringing to the table? Can you imagine the resources we could pool together? Can you imagine the encouragement we could give each other? Can you imagine the strong foundation we could build under us so that we could go when we do scatter and bring the gospel to our workplace, our homes, our families, our schools, wherever we go? So my encouragement is, and I want this to be an encouraging message, my encouragement is, hey, same as Paul, let us consider how we can spur one another, but don't neglect gathering together. You need that stuff. Back in Genesis 2, and I'll end with this, back in Genesis 2, God, through 1 and 2, is creating the world. He creates something, he says it's good. He creates another thing, he says it's good. And when it's all done, he says it's very good. And before sin happens in Genesis 3, before sin enters the world, God says one thing is not good. In a perfect world, there was one thing that was not good. And it is not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve for Adam. It's not good for us to be alone. We are not wired to do life on our own. We are not wired to do spiritual life. We are not wired to do the mission that Jesus has placed us on our own. We need each other. I'm going to pray, and then I believe Johnny's going to come up, and he's going to lead us in communion. One of the things that Jesus taught us to do, and it's where we come together and we all just remember and with thankful hearts receive the elements and remember what Christ has done for us. That Jesus, though he was sinless, shed his blood for us. So we're going to do that in just a moment, but I just want to pray for us, and then I'll invite Johnny to come up. God, I love you. I love your church. Thank you that you said you will build your church. Thank you that that you have given us each something to bring. Lord, would you stir in our hearts what that is, what we need to bring? Would you stir in our hearts just a love for your church? And God, I thank you for each and every person here. I thank you for this gathering. I thank you for stirring it in our hearts to come and meet together on a Sunday night. And God, would you bless the rest of our time here today? And would you bless us as we go out? And then as we gather again throughout the week and next week at this time, and God, would you just encourage us as we go? Would we encourage each other as well? Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.